today and have way too much fun with it. I've got more to preach and you got time. You already know that. But listen, I celebrate you today. Thank you for being here. And, this is a season where we need to be bringing them in. And so there are people that you know that are not here. There's people that you know that's never come here. They need to come. And you say, well, I've heard, I kind of know where you're going already. Okay, that's all right, but they don't. And I want to tell you, you can be a missionary by bringing people. You folk on the media, we celebrate that you're watching and you're looking in and listening in. We welcome you. We bless you in the name of Jesus. You're very important to us. But I want to tell you, I'm going to ask you to be a media missionary. And you be a media missionary by you telling others how to tune into this. And I'm saying you tell them because I don't know how to tell you. That's where I'm at. But thank God I got people around me as a lot sharper knife in the drawer than what I am. But I'm telling you, you can show people and tell people how to tune in. There are people that you know that need this message. This is a new series, and I can hear applause and shouting and everything taking place all over. So we're on a new series. This series is about how to win the mind game. How to win the mind games. I wanted to give some illustrations about computer games, but I don't know enough to do it. But it kind of fits. But I want to just tell you something. There's mind games that take place in the lives of believers to get them distracted from Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is real, real clear. That you know what? We're to look away from anything and everything that would distract us and focus on Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's the beginner and the author of our faith. And listen to this. And he's the finisher of our faith. And the point A, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and all in between is based on the faith of Jesus Christ. But we need to be focused on him. And I tell you, there's a lot of believers. I'm just going to say it clear. You know, I don't mind doing that. There's a lot of believers that do not fulfill their purpose on this earth. A lot of believers that don't receive all that God has for them. A lot of believers that don't walk in victory because they have a lack of focus. They are distracted from Jesus. And I want to tell you, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. See, I don't even have this in here, but it's just in me. And I just got to tell you this part, and you can look it up and this afternoon. Don't look right now. We got to listen fast. But Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is real clear. And you know what? It goes like this, that there is a difference between the weight that the burden and the weight that comes on you that hinders you from the race and the sin. There's a distinguishing between the burden, okay, of the weight and the sin. In other words, there's two areas. And I want to tell you, the sin is pretty easily recognized. And a lot of times there is a sin that so easily besets us. And I'm going to say it like this. We think it's our sin forever. And a lot of times it's a private sin. And a lot of times it's something that goes back into our childhood. And it may not even have started with you. It may have started because of a wound and a hurt or abuse and misuse from your childhood, and this kind of clinged to you from your childhood, and it's just kind of stayed with you, and the enemy's convinced you that that's your sin. It's not your sin. And I want to tell you, that's a lie. I don't care whether it's private or public. I don't care if it's big or little. I want to tell you how the enemy uses it. Every time you get touched by the Lord and you see vision in your heart about how the Lord wants to use you, here comes that little sin creeping up. Remember me? Remember me? And the next thing you know, you're under condemnation and guilt, and you're saying the Lord can't ever use me because of this sin. Every time, and I've wrestled with it, and I fought it, I've done everything counselors ever told me, and it still creeps up. Isn't it amazing the timing that it creeps up? Okay, because if he can keep you from stepping out and walking with the Lord, he can keep you in defeat. If he can keep you from believing, he can keep you from receiving. That's the way the enemy operates. And I want to tell you, so anyway, the Bible says to cast this thing aside, because I'm just going to announce to you, Jesus paid the price for that sin, and it's not your sin. It's been paid for. The blood of Jesus was more than powerful to save you and rescue you from the punishment of that sin. Get this, and the power of that sin. And one of the reasons that, you've labeled it your sin is because you believed a lie, because it's not your sin. It's been paid for. All right? He took it upon himself, so it's not yours anymore. We believed a lie. And I want to tell you, when we realign, reprogram our mind, renew our mind to the Word of God and see that, you know what, the old man is dead. Okay? And we have a new man, Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ in our spirit. And I want to tell you, we have overcome. And I want to tell you, your spirit is completely forgiven for free. It's completely free. It's completely full of the power of God. And so any sin that besets you needs to be cast aside, and we give allegiance to his righteousness. Now, there's some reprogramming and renewing. But wait a minute. What about the other stuff? What about the burden and the weight? What is that? I want to tell you what that is. Now, this is kind of Tim talking, but I think I got insight on it. I think it's the good stuff that the enemy brings into your life. No, wait. The enemy just brings bad. No, I want to tell you this trick. He will load your wagon with stuff that people applaud. Oh, good job. Oh, thank you for doing that. Oh, you're doing so good. Oh, we're so proud of you. And he can fill your wagon full of responsibilities that the world says are good, that does so distract you and burden you from your journey with the Lord that you miss. And I want to tell you, if the enemy can't get you with the sin, he'll try to overwhelm your life with the good, what's acceptable, what people applaud and brag on you about. Hey, we're not out for people's approval. We're out for God's approval. And I want to tell you, when you load your wagon of life, when you load it up with a bunch of good stuff that God didn't say do, then I want to tell you, you become a human doing instead of a human being. And you miss. I'm telling you, if you burn out by doing good that God didn't put in your wagon, you're burnt out. You're out. I want to announce to you, I'm just going to say this. People forget too. And the applause doesn't last long. I want to tell you, you need to do what you do because you love Jesus. And celebrate the King and the kingdom. That stuff lasts forever. And so I'm telling you, everything that distracts you from letting the main thing be the main thing, and Jesus is the main thing. And so let's let the main thing be the main thing. Okay, and you watch what Jesus does. But I want to tell you, that's how we keep our focus. And I want to tell you, when you center in on Jesus and you let Jesus be your focus in this life, then I want to tell you something. He has a way of lining up all the other stuff. I'm telling you, lining up for good. Lining it up for victory. Lining it up for overcoming. Lining it up as an overcomer. And what have you done? You've not been a human doing trying to make it happen. You've been a human being with him, focused on him, letting him be himself in you, and saturating yourself with Jesus and the Word. And just like the little Emmaus couple, they heard about Jesus and the Word, and their hearts burned within them. And I want to tell you, all of these things Jesus said, all these other things will be lined up for you. Now, that's supernatural. That's when you look around your life and say, man, I've just been enjoying my journey in Jesus. I've been focusing on the now. See, you focus on the past, the rearview mirror, you can miss. Hey, it's real clear. You forget the bad and you remember the good. You celebrate the good, but you forget the bad. So it's not rearview, and it's not looking way off down the highway. All right, you can focus on the future and get depressed or fearful. But I want to tell you where we're to focus. It's Jesus right now. It's Jesus today. Today, Jesus. Receive from Jesus today. Hey, here's some wisdom. Walk with Jesus today. According to Jesus, tomorrow is going to take care of itself, but you walk with Jesus today and watch what he does into tomorrow. Well, I'm telling you, it's praise ye the Lord. Okay, this is how to win the mind game. So I got to get your focus right. All right, but you get your focus on Jesus. It's amazing how you start experiencing victory when you've wrestled with stuff. Okay, I had to tell a pastor not too long ago that called and was just overwhelmed. And he was saying, hey, I'm busy in the community, this and this and this, and I don't have time for my family. I said, whoa, wait, time out. I said, I don't need much wisdom on this. You got to tell the community no. Tell your family yes. But, wait. You had me when you talked about God's priority in your life. You already had me on that. Yes to family. No to community. Wagon load where that you're overwhelmed. All right? Well, I thank y'all for agreeing with me. Okay, so see, it's important. Listen, if you got this burden that's weighing you down and you're carrying and you're overloaded and you're not free to walk with the Lord, Jesus didn't give you that burden. He said, bring him to me. Lay him at his feet. And he would give you rest. Now, the beautiful part of that rest, man, I'm not covering my regular scripture here. The beautiful part of that rest is described as a spiritual, emotional, physical vacation. Now, I want to tell you, that's good rest. Anybody interested in a little dose of that? Well, he's won it for us. So don't carry those burdens. If you're feeling overloaded and overburdened, that Jesus didn't put that on you. All right? But I want to tell you, we can get free of it. He said, my burden's light. Wow. Oh, I'm telling you, he's life to us. Okay, let's look at how to win the mind games. We've talked about focus. I didn't have that in mind. That's not in the notes, but it's important for you to be free to focus. Amen. All right, Isaiah 41:10 says this. Y'all going to have to listen a little faster. All right, it says, fear not. See, this is wrong focus. I want to tell you one of the biggest part of the mind games that Christians lose is that we are inhabited with fear. Now, it's normal for the world to fear. It's not normal for you to fear. It's subnormal for you to fear. Jesus makes it clear, fear is not your friend. Don't embrace and think that fear is going to do you well. It's not. It's an enemy. He doesn't give us the spirit of fear. If he doesn't give us the spirit of fear, who does? Oh, that's a good question. Fear not. There's nothing to fear, for I am with you. That's where our focus needs to be. When you got fear creeping in, sneaking in, okay, what you do is that you focus on the Lord's presence is with you. That's your answer. All right, do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. If you don't focus on Jesus and the presence of Jesus and practicing his presence and the promises of his presence and protection, then the next thing you're going to do is look around you. Well, the answer is not around you. Your help comes from the Lord. Okay? The world is not going to give you peace. Jesus is peace. Don't look around you in terror and be dismayed. If you look around, you're going to be in more terror and more dismayed. He says, you don't have to go there because I am your God. Boy, that's a great confession. You're my God and you're with me. All right, that's a great confession right there. And look what he says. When you're focused on him, he's with you. He's your God. Guess what you get? You get strengthened. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. I'm going to bring you out of difficulties victoriously. All right? I'm going to cause you to be a champion and overcomer. Yes, I will help you. If there's any question about how big the difficulty is or the terror is or the fear is, God says personally, I will. Somebody say, I will. Hey, he says he's going to help you. And it's a reaffirmation. Look at this. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I told you I would. Yes, I will. Yes, I will hold you up. I will retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Somebody give God praise. Well, I want to tell you, that's probably a little too long to be on a bumper sticker, but it probably needs to be on your mirror. Probably needs to be in your bathroom, wherever you get ready. Probably need to be at your study. And it's something you need to meditate on, the goodness of God, the protection of God, and the presence of God. Amen. John 16:33, Jesus said this. He said, I've told you these words. I've given you my words. I've told you these things. Now, I want to tell you something. He's given us his words for us to receive those words, digest those words, meditate on those words, give allegiance to those words. And there's things that happen when you give allegiance to the words of Jesus. Wow. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. And he's saying that, look, my words will remind you. I want to tell you, we have a tendency to forget. That's why we got to be in the Word. Because the Holy Spirit will take the words of Jesus and remind us of who we are. What we have. What he is. Who he is to us. What he's doing. What he's saying. He says, so that in me, you're going to be reminded that you're in me. And that you may have perfect peace and confidence. I want to tell you, we already have it. He's given it to us. What his word does and the Holy Spirit comes when we focus on the words of Jesus is that the Holy Spirit reminds us that we already got this. He's already done it. I want to tell you, this is good. Peace and confidence. All right? I want to tell you, there's a lot of believers don't operate in this peace. If we're operating the same way our neighbors are, there's something wrong somewhere, and it ain't with God. We're not saying Jesus didn't pay enough for today, are we? I'm telling you, he promised in his word that, hey, he paid for everything we need in this life and the next. I believe we're covered. The blood covers us. The victory covers us. The victory is for us. And so I'm just reminding you, because this is what the words of Jesus do. They remind us that we have and can receive and can walk in perfect peace and confidence. Now, this confidence is not a world confidence either. It's not self-esteem. Well, I just believe I can do anything. Well, you know, come on. You can do all things in Christ. It's because of Christ, in Christ, for Christ, about Christ, all about Christ. All things are possible. Now he says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, trials, and distresses, and frustrations. I want to tell you, this shows up at your door, whether you're in peace or confidence or whether you're not. See, your spirituality, how much you grow in the Lord, doesn't determine how much of an attack you get. They still come. I'm just going to announce this. The more you grow in the Lord, more level, more devil. Don't let that scare you. Because as we grow in the Lord, we walk in greater levels, reality of his peace and confidence. Where's our confidence in him? Okay. They still come. But be of good cheer. Now, this is what happens. You can be of good cheer. You can celebrate the Lord no matter what kind of tribulation shows up at your door. You can celebrate the Lord if you're receiving his words and you're walking in his peace and his confidence, a tribulation show up at your door, you know what? You can be a good cheer. Things are looking right for a miracle. Huh? You can be of good cheer about it. You can have courage. You can celebrate. You can operate in freedom and victory. You can be confident. You can be certain. You can be undaunted. When you open your front door and a tribulation shows up, you don't go, you know, that's the way the world does. No, you open your door and see a tribulation, you say, oh, so you want to get whooped. Because Jesus has already whooped you, and I'm representing him, and you don't disturb my heart because I have his peace. You're not going to cause a wreck in my life because I'm focused on Jesus, and I want to tell you, he's my victory, so just get ready for a whooping. Now, I'm just sharing with you a mindset. You say, Brother Tim, that's not reality. I'm not pointing fingers, naming names. We don't do that. But there's actually people that we have talked to and know of that will talk about the word, and then you get in private, and they say, but wait a minute, we live in real life here. We live in real life. Okay. We're talking about what about practical life? Well, this truth is for every level of life. And if you don't apply this truth into every level of life, you're going to be a loser in life. The way to be a victorious one in life is to apply this truth to every level of your life. What do you mean practical? God's relevant. We just need to learn, let the Holy Spirit show us how to cooperate and appropriate to affirm and confirm that this is for me. You see, we haven't seen Jesus long enough in his word to see him write our name on it. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to own this, that he paid the price for you. He says, I've overcome the world. Let's talk about victory. Well, you want to talk about your disturbance. You want to talk about your tribulation. You want to talk about your distress. Well, just name it enough to get it to Jesus. Don't let that be your focus. Don't let that distract you from your focus. Jesus is your focus. Get your focus on the overcoming. The overcomer gives you overcoming. And so he's our victory. Hey, look what he says, and this is the Amplified bringing out the language, but it says, I have deprived the world of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Wow! Now that's good. I want to tell you, he beat up the bully for us. And now he looks at you and says, see that bully? He defeated for you. Now you just reinforce it. He shows up at your door, you remind him. You submit to God and you resist that bully and tell him to get on down the road. Remember your whooping. Okay? Hey, I want to tell you, spiritual warfare is fought in the battle of the mind. There's been some great books written on this, and I'm not trying to copy them. I'm just saying they know more about it than I do. But I want to tell you, I've experienced enough of it, helped enough people with it, that I know that the real battle is between the eras. Okay, it's in the mind. I want to show you. Man, this is a theme verse. You're going to hear this verse a number of times. You know by the time this series is over with that you're going to have this theme verse probably memorized. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings, now, where do those things take place at? Yeah, they do. Thank you for saying that. All right? Every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God in your mind. And so I'm just telling you, I'm just going to say this, and because I want to help people. But the area that you're struggling in, the area that so easily besets you, the area that you're burdened by, that sin that, you know, the enemy says is your sin, then I want look, it all boils down to you've believed a lie against the true knowledge of God. So what we got to do is get in the true knowledge of God, give allegiance to the true knowledge of God. Listen to me, speak the true knowledge of God. And I want to tell you, we reprogram this computer to where that we believe that we have victory, and it's not an automatic defeat. I want to tell you, when we get our thinking right, our stinking's going to clear up. Well, okay. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. Now, I'm going to say that little phrase, and I want you to say it after me. Into the obedience of Christ. All right, now that's a big difference. Because I want to tell you, when I first started out as a teenager, man, I was, you know, coming out of the world, of course, you know, and man, my thought, man, I tell you, I was a mess in the mind, and I was battling, and I was wrestling, and I was determined I was going to use my athletic training to win in my mind. And what I found out that pretty quick, I was worn out in my mind. All right, I was wore out and tired from trying to do good, trying to win the battle of the mind. And it became clear to me after a couple years, because I was still a teenager, it became clear to me that, you know what, it's not me beating up the thought patterns in my mind I've got to bring them, get this now, it's so simple you can miss it because I missed it for years. It's so simple that we bring these thoughts, these fiery darts, these thought patterns, these reasonings. The King James says that it's imaginations in the mind that are anti-God, anti-you, that we bring them to the obedience of Christ. We don't make them obey and then bring them to Christ. That's saying that, you know what, you whoop it and then you bring the victory to Christ. No, no, no. That's what makes tired, wore out, defeated Christians. Ever been there? If I could raise both feet, I would. I want to tell you, it's so simple that I missed it. But since I've been sharing this, it's amazing that people take the simplicity of this and get free from strongholds in their mind. I got so many examples. I'd be so excited to share some of them with you. But we don't make them obey and then bring them to Christ. We bring those fiery darts as they are. We bring the lies, and we bring them to the obedience of Christ. What is it talking about when it talks about the obedience of Christ? It's talking about the cross, my friend. He was obedient to the cross. And on the cross, he won our victory. And so your victory and my victory between the ears, our victory over the mind games, okay, is won by Christ on the cross. I want to tell you, if you need a better picture, just think about the thorns being implanted into his mind. I want to tell you, he suffered, okay? In his mind, he suffered for your freedom. But it's not you're winning it. We bring it to his victory on the cross. It's the victory of the cross that paves the way for us to receive. We're not achievers. We're receivers. And we receive because of his obedience. And so, Brother Tim, how do we do this? Well, you take that fiery dart. Holy Spirit will help you recognize it because a big part of it is recognition. It's not your thought. Well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. I guess that's all right. Maybe we need to repeat it a few times. But I want to tell you, it's not your thought. Now, see, the enemy's a big liar, and he'll tell you, that's you. No, that ain't you, that's him. I want to tell you how unfair he fights, because he don't fight fair. He'll shoot a fiery dart in your mind, and then he'll turn around and say, now how can you be a believer and think that? When he the one that shot it at you. He will blame you and guilt you and condemn you for a thought that he gave you. All right. See, this is why recognition is so important. And the Holy Spirit will help you do that. We're going to show you how to cause your heart to be more sensitive, okay, to responding and recognition of what's from God and what's not from God. Are you interested in that? Well, you got to stay with the series to get that part. But here we go. We have authority in the name of Jesus. We don't have to put up with that mess, okay? The area that you're responsible for, it's not up there in the atmosphere. The areas that you're responsible for are not out there in the dry desert places. I mention that because I've got people in Christendom that don't like the way I preach this kind of stuff because they are warfare people and they actually promote, and I'm just going to say, they actually promote that we need to gather in cities and gather in places and have mass prayer meetings to take authority over the powers of darkness in that area so folk can be saved. No! That's not Bible. Now, see, they don't like it when I say this. I'm just going to say real clearly. I want to be so clear because I want you to have help. That you know what? The Bible doesn't promote these big prayer gatherings in different places to overcome darkness. What the Bible promotes is that Jesus overcame darkness on the cross. And resurrection is the proof that darkness is whipped. Okay? We're going to share some things very specifically with you on this. I'm kind of sharing this so you'll be interested in hanging with us through the whole thing. Because we want you to be free because Jesus paid for your freedom. And so I want to tell you, it's not the demons in the desert, in the dry places that are causing problems. It's not the demons that are in the atmosphere that's causing problems. It's demons in people that's causing problems. Man, I've been wanting to say that. I may have to say it again. But what I'm trying to tell you is that he doesn't tell his disciples, let's gather in this town and pray till the enemy is defeated. No, I want to tell you, the Bible method for overcoming darkness in places is to preach the gospel. It's the power of the gospel that breaks the strongholds. And so we got to go preach the gospel. No, we'd rich rather and gather and encourage each other and just pray against it. No, I want to tell you, he's already told you, go minister to the kingdom and put the devil on the run. Okay. Well, that's why they don't really invite me to those meetings anymore. Now, do I pray? You better believe it. The Bible tells us to pray about everything all the time, anything, to pray. But I want to tell you something. Be advised that we pray from authority. We pray from victory because we are from Jesus. And he won it. Jesus won the battle and gave us authority. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes, and I'm telling you, I'm kind of getting on some stuff here. I'm going for it. Okay. Sometimes people want to get on the book of faith, you know. Let's get a couple thousand people praying for something. And I want to tell you, I don't agree with that. Now, if you do that, I'm not throwing any Bibles at you, but I want to help you. Okay? The Bible doesn't say anywhere that you need 1,000 people or hundreds of people or even 40 or 50 people to agree with you. The Bible says if two agree. Now, I want to tell you, I understand that out of 1,000 people or hundreds of people, you're probably going to find a few people that know how to pray with authority. Okay, that's okay. That's all right. That's all right. But that's not where you put your dependence on. And so these folk that get on the horn and say, everybody pray for me, everybody. Why you need everybody for? When the Bible says if two agree, that it's a done deal. I want to tell you why, because, boy, I'm getting there today. Y'all going to be back next Sunday, okay? Well, if you are or not, I'm going to preach it. Okay, but it goes like this, okay? It goes like this. Sometimes, I'm not saying every time. I said sometimes people are more interested in describing their problem. Who me? Poor me. Woe is me. Than they are getting victory. Okay? Now, I want to tell you, I'm just going to jump off this diving board. The biggest lie ever told in church life, I'll pray for you. Oh, I'll pray for you. That's the biggest lie. It sounds spiritual. It sounds good. But if you don't do it, it's a lie. You understand? It's a lie if you don't do it. I want to tell you what I love about the beautiful blind, because we get requests all the time from all over the place. Can you imagine? Pray for me about this, this and this, this and this. We stop right then. You know, it don't take an hour. It takes just a few moments to agree together. Amen. Renounce the darkness. Bind the bad. Loose the good. We can do that in a few seconds and we've done it. Okay? Jesus is not far long prayers. Now, he spent long time conversing with Father. But he exposed the long prayers, repetitive prayers of the Pharisees. All right. He described religious people like to pray long time. He not for long prayers. Now, he spent nights with Father conversing, but I want to tell you, there's a lot of love life taking place in that. He wasn't up there all night begging God to do something. Wow. Man, I'm kind of involving a couple different series here. I want to tell you, sometimes people want to pray, get a bunch of people praying for them because they want something supernatural to happen on the outside. Listen to me. Because they're not willing to take responsibility on the inside of cooperating with God. I want to tell you, it's high time in the body of Christ that we take responsibility for where we are and where we're not. You say, well, it's not my fault. Well, if you don't take responsibility now, you're never going to get anywhere by blaming someone else where you are or where you're not. Because you start doing that, you know where you're going to end up? I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. You're going to end up blaming God. And I want to tell you, that's wrong. 1,000 times wrong. Now, I've said it 1,000 times. Okay. And so, you... listen to me, not 1,000 people. You are responsible to cooperate with God, to cooperate with the Word of God, to cooperate with the Spirit of God. And it's His power working in you, in you. You cooperating with His power working in you that causes all things to be possible. Wow. Matthew 18, you ready for some more scripture? Probably you are. Matthew 18. Truly I tell you, this is Jesus speaking. Man, when he said, truly I'm telling you, he says, I'm laying it out here. This is true. I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. Now I want to tell you, he said it this way because there's people that take a license for their selfish pleasures, selfish desires, and the Bible is real clear that we miss in prayer because of our self-centeredness. We need to be Savior-centered. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of power in agreement. He said when two people agree that it's done, it's settled in heaven. But what he's given here is a warning. Listen to me. This is a qualifier. This is not for you to act like little kids and go out and agree for all your self-centeredness. It's not about that. He's saying right here in this verse, he said, I'm telling you, you better understand this is true, that whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be something that heaven's already declaring. If heaven is not clear about it, you best shut up. But if it's declared, if it's confirmed, if this is the will of God in heaven, then it's the will of God on earth. And if it's the will of God in heaven and the will of God on earth, you can stand in agreement with the will of God, and you and someone else can pray and agree, and it's released from heaven for earth. I love that, don't you? Whatever you permit and declare to be proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. I want to tell you how we teach teens to pray. Is it all right to share this with you? We teach teens to pray. We gather around and we're fixing to pray over this person and they got a problem. And so I'll just ask the teens. Now let's discuss. What does God want? Wait. What does God want for this person in this situation? And I get them to thinking about heaven, see, thinking about God, God's will, God's word, God's way. What does God want for this person? Well, God wants them healed. Then that's what we're going to loose. We bind the bad, we're going to bind the sickness, and we're going to loose the health, the healing of the Lord. Do you understand? Is that, that's not complicated, that's simple. Then why don't we pray that way? I'm telling you, when you're in a situation in your house and there's a spirit of conflict in your house, then I'm just going to announce to you there's pride somewhere, somehow, because according to the Word of God, contention comes because of pride. And so what do? You humble yourself before God and before each other, and you pray and agree, and you bind the bad. Bind this attitude of rebellion, this attitude, atmosphere of sickness, and you bind that and you lose what God wants. What does God want? Peace, unity, wholeness, health, healing, restoration, love to pitch a tent over you. Do you see what I'm saying? And so that's what you agree to, and you two of you agree and loose it. And agree to it, and man, so be it. Again, I tell you, he said in verse 19, if two of you on earth agree. See, he's saying it twice. You know why he's saying it twice? Because people think, well, we need 1,000. If I could just get 1,000. I had a pastor actually tell me one time, I started an early morning prayer meeting. He actually told me this. He said, if I can get 100 people here early in the morning to pray, God will have to do something. Wait. What do you mean? It take 100 of us and we can twist God's arm and tell him to do whatever we want done? He said, that's not what I'm saying. I said, yes, it is. Yeah, it is. All right. If you don't agree with me, keep listening. You'll probably find something you do agree with. I love you. If two of you on earth agree about whatever and anything they may ask, it will come to pass. It may come to pass. It might come to pass. We're going to have a Senate and Congress agreement in heaven. No, because Jesus has already paid for it. Jesus has already said yes. The promises of God are yes and amen. And let me tell you what amen means. It means I want it. So be it. It means I want it. That's why we ought to have a few amens in the house. And Jesus is saying, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now I want to tell you, people get together and want to beg God to move. He's already moved. He went from heaven to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave, the resurrection power, back to heaven. He's already moved, and he said yes to all of his promises right here. Man, that's exciting. For wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. There I am in the middle of them. He's in the midst of us. We had a prayer meeting the other day where only three people turned up. Now look, I don't really promote the prayer meetings. I don't beg people to come to prayer meetings. I don't give a big promotion. Y'all come. Look, it's at our house. It's called the Mountain Movers Meeting. And if you need prayer, want to pray, you come. But we don't beg and encourage people to come. You know why? Because Leonard Ravenhill taught me years ago that, you know what? You want people at the prayer meeting that have a heart to seek God. You don't want them bringing some other kind of attitude in there. Okay? You want them to be in oneness and unity. There's a lot of power in oneness and unity. But I want to tell you, we had a prayer meeting. We usually have 8, 10, sometime a dozen. But it's the lowest attended meeting that we have, but I call it the power meeting. All right? Now, I want to tell you. We had three people, two of them, beautiful blonde and I. That's all right, because we prayed when it was just the two of us. Because the Bible says if any two agree. But I want to tell you, the third person showed up and said, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Nobody's here. I said, wait. And see, it's sweet, okay? But I'm just telling you. I said, you know what? Jesus is here. And he said that he would be, where there's two or three gathered, he said he would be right in the middle. Jesus is right here in the middle of us. Now, this is an exciting night. You understand? Well, do we believe it? Well, let's practice it. When Jesus came across darkness and demons, he rebuked them and he commanded them to leave. He didn't gather hundreds or 30 or 40 to pray against the darkness. No. I want to tell you, Jesus said, you say, not 1,000 people say, he said, you say to the mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea. He said, where two or three agree, it's done. Now, Matthew 18, this is where we get this. Jesus said, bind the bad. 19, bind the bad, Matthew 18, and loose the good. Heaven needs to be in agreement. The spoken word is our weapon of warfare. That's why I encourage you to speak it. You need to say it. See, it's by grace through faith. The promises and authority of God in Christ Jesus are by grace through faith. It's voice activated. You loose the good. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:13 is repeated in the Old Testament. And so I'm announcing to you, this is one of the ways of God that we need to absolutely be very familiar with. 2 Corinthians 4:13 is quoted in the Old Testament too. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I have believed and therefore I have spoken. This is one of the ways of God. This is one of the principles of faith that we activate. We speak it. We too believe, therefore we speak. Man, I don't even have to explain that. That's just there. I don't know everything. I tell you, you know I don't. I don't know everything. I don't claim to be an expert in anything. But I do know this, and I'm confident in this, Jesus won. Jesus won. So why is it that believers act like he lost? We're not losers, because he won. All right? He defeated the enemy. He's given us authority to advance the kingdom. Luke 10, I'm having so much fun. And, this series just got a little longer. Let me find a stopping place on this, because this is so exciting. Luke 10, 18 and 19, he said to these disciples, this is after the 70, after they'd gone out ministering and come back, and were so excited about what they saw happen, the authority and power they had over the powers of darkness. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven. This was not from a warfare big group prayer meeting. This was from people that had gone out ministering the kingdom. Jesus' words, Jesus works. All right. He says, behold, you understand this. He said, this is you. This is for real with you. I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. Somebody say darkness. And physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. Okay? That means, I want to tell you, he's given you power and authority in the physical realm, in the mental realm, and he's given you strength to overcome in those areas. Hey, this is not just for you. This is for the people you're ministering to. But be understanding this. It includes you. Okay? Over all the power that the enemy possesses. Now, there's a lot of people that teach a lot about the power of darkness. We don't need to study darkness. We need to study light. Okay, I want to tell you a fact. This is a Bible fact. It's a spiritual reality. All demons are weak compared to Jesus. We minister in places that don't believe there's any more demons. And we minister in places that think that some demons are just too much for us. Well, that's wrong, 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 both directions. Okay, Jesus defeated them all, made a public display of all of them. They're all weak, and he's given us overcoming authority and power to trample on them, to step on them, to kick them. That's why sometimes we call our mountain mover meeting a kick the enemy in the teeth meeting. I love that, don't you? Over all the power that the enemy possesses. Does it say some or all? I believe when Jesus said all, he means all. I believe he means all for Hall. What about for you? And nothing shall in any way harm you. Now, that's an important scripture, because we have some people that are superstitious about the enemy. Don't say his name. Don't say his name. Well, Jesus did. And Jesus wasn't scared of him. Okay? I was preaching in a place in deep East Texas. It was a revival service. And I was meeting with the leadership before the meeting. We were kind of having a pre-glow meeting. I like to do that. There were some pastors there from other churches, and I was visiting and sharing with them, and one of the deacons come running in. Preacher, pastor, we're in trouble. He said, what is it? He said, the local witch, has said that she's coming to disrupt our service. What are we going to do? And so before I even knew it, because I started to laugh, and before I knew it, they were discussing any kind of schemes and stuff. How are we going to keep her away? Let's call the sheriff's department out. And I said, whoa, wait. Y'all know her? Yeah. Y'all know where she lives? Yeah. I said, you go tell her I invite her to come. She's my guest tonight at this meeting. Do we have to fear? Look, this is one of the reasons, and I got to stop here. Are y'all going to let me stop? One of the reasons why, even yesterday at our fall festival, it was so precious. I appreciate everybody so much. The little kids were dressed up. That's just cute to me. I like it. You know what? On Halloween night, we don't celebrate Halloween. We take the opportunity to pass out tracts and candies, and we get the good candy too. And we pass out the tracts to people. And you know, before the COVID thing, I don't even like to mention that name. But before that, you know, we actually counted one year, 450-something people came by our door. So we got to give out all the tracts we had. But I'm here to tell you that the kids are kind of cute and everything, and I like to mess with the kids. But I want to tell you something. Halloween's not cute to me. Halloween's not funny to me. When you've dealt with real witches and led them to Christ, when you've dealt with real people in the occult and rescued them out of the occult and bring them to Jesus, I want to tell you what, darkness is not cute and funny. It's real battle. Now, I'm not scared because we the winners. I don't have to be scared. You don't either. But you do have to exercise authority. All right? I want to tell you, Jesus has given you peace. And you know what? It's worth fighting for. I've been wanting to say that too. Okay, where am I at here? I've had so much fun. I'm at Luke 10. Well, I don't even see that. Oh, okay, all right. All right, I already said it. Okay. All right, here I am ending this up. Somebody believe me. We study Jesus. We don't study demons or the devil. I get asked sometimes in some places, not the ones that don't believe that demons are still on earth, but in other places they say, brother, do you see a demon behind every bush? No, I don't, because I don't look for them. I don't look for a demon behind every bush. I want to tell you what I look for. I look for Jesus in front of every bush. You see, that's got to be our emphasis. That's got to be our focus. See Jesus. Remember Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. See Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Walk in the light. And when darkness shows up, it's obvious if you're walking in the light. If you see some kind of cloud come over you, well, it's obvious if you're walking in the light. What do? Well, you renounce it in Jesus' name. You take authority in Jesus' name. You submit to God and resist the devil and put the devil on the run and get on about walking in the light. Don't get distracted. The enemy wants to distract you from walking in the light, because it's your walk that terrifies the kingdom of darkness. That's all I got time for. I love you. I appreciate you. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless your holy name. We celebrate your goodness. Lord, we pray that your word will have the effect that you promised it would. We just agree with the effect of your word, because, Lord, you said that your word would not return void without accomplishing the desire of your heart for it. And so we say yes to the word of God, and we release the power of your word to set people free. And we give you praise. Let's give the Lord praise. Let's give him a celebration. Amen and amen. All right.